Today's lesson is on the folly of a wise man. If I ask you, who in the Bible was a wise man, who would come to mind? You think of the book of Proverbs, and so many, not all of the Proverbs attributed to Solomon, but the Proverbs of Solomon. The fact that in 1 Kings 3, he had asked for wisdom and was given wisdom and the greatness of his wisdom. But then we're confronted with the foolish decisions that Solomon made. Sometimes very, very smart people make very, very foolish decisions. And when we look at the life of Solomon, and then his son. And if you're calling Ecclesiastes, what's one of the frustrations in the book of Ecclesiastes is a king is looking at the fact that he's going to be gone and what he has will be left to a son. And the question is, will he be a fool? And Solomon's kingdom is left to who? To Rehoboam, a fool. It occurred to me the other day, I've done so many lessons on parenting out of the book of Proverbs, and yet Rehoboam is such a disaster as a son. But it comes back to the folly also that was in the father. And so we're going to be looking at the folly of a wise man followed by the folly of a fool. And the lesson I want us to get from this, and we'll come back to it again at the end, is this. James 1, where James is echoing a point Jesus made at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, we'll get to that at the end, said this, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. It doesn't do any good to know something if you then don't do what you're supposed to do. The value in wisdom and knowledge, which are two different things, but have some relations, there has to be an application of that in our lives. And when there's not, we see what happens. So Solomon and Rehoboam, we're going to be looking at some passages from 1 Kings chapter 10 through 14. We're going to start in chapter 10, verse 1. And this is going to be talking about how impressed the Queen of Sheba is with Solomon, not just his wisdom, but also his wealth and his knowledge. And let's begin in chapter 10, verse 1. Now, when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. We're in 1 Kings chapter 10. Now, verse 2. She came to Jerusalem with a very great retinue, with camels bearing spices, with very much gold and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she told him all that was on her mind. Solomon answered all her questions. There was nothing hidden from the king that he could not explain to her. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, the house he had built, the food of his table, the seating of his officials, the attendance of his servants, their clothing, his cupbearers, his burnt offerings that he offered at the house of the Lord, there was no more breath in her. We have the expression, it took your breath away. She said to the king, the report was true that I heard in my own land of your words and your wisdom. But I did not believe the reports until I came and my own eyes had seen it. Behold, the half had not been told me. Your wisdom and prosperity surpassed the report I heard. Happy are your men. Happy are your servants who continually stand before you and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God who delighted in you and set you on the throne of Israel. Because the Lord loved Israel forever and he has made you king, that you may execute justice and righteousness. Then she gave the king 120 talents of gold and a very great quantity of spices and precious stones. Never again came such an abundance of spices as these that the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. Moreover, the fleet of Hiram, which brought gold from Ophir, brought from Ophir a very great amount of almug wood and precious stones, and the king made of the almug wood supports for the house of the Lord and for the king's house, also lyres and harps for the singers. No such almug wood has come or been seen to this day. The king, King Solomon, gave to the queen of Sheba all that she desired, whatever she asked, besides was given her by the bounty of King Solomon. So she turned and went back to her own land with her servants. And it talks about the wealth in the days of Solomon. Now the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 666 talents of gold. Beside that, which came from the explorers, from the business of the merchants, and from all the kings of the earth, from the governors of the land. And he made 200 large shields of beaten gold. Remember that. And when we get later to the story of Rehoboam, remember these golden shields. He made 200 large shields of beaten gold. 600 shekels of gold went into each shield. And he made 300 shields of beaten gold, 3 minas of gold in each shield. And he put them in the house of the Lord of the forest of Lebanon. He made a great ivory throne and overlaid it with the finest gold. A throne made out of ivory, covered with gold. The throne had 6 steps, and the throne had a round top. On each side of the seat were armrests and 2 lions standing beside the armrest, while 12 lions stood there, one on each end of the 6th step of the 6 steps. The like of it was never made in any kingdom. All King Solomon's drinking vessels were of gold, and all the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were of pure gold. None were silver. Silver was not considered as anything in the days of Solomon. For the king had a fleet of ships of Tarshish at sea with the fleet of Hiram. Once every 3 years, the fleet of ships of Tarshish used to come bringing gold, silver, ivory, apes, peacocks. Thus King Solomon excelled all the kings of the earth in riches and wisdom. So you've got this incredible amount of wealth. You've got this wisdom. She came with these hard questions. Everything she asked, he answers. So impressive. Chapter 11, verse 1. Now King Solomon loved many foreign women, along with the daughter of Pharaoh, Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidonian, and Hittite women. From the nations concerning which the Lord had said to the people of Israel, you shall not enter into marriage with them. Neither shall they marry with you, for surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods. Solomon clung to these in love. He had 700 wives who were princesses and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not wholly true to the Lord, his God, as was the heart of David, his father. So for Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. So Solomon did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and did not wholly follow the Lord as David, his father, had done. Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, and for Molech, the abomination of the Ammonites, on the mountains east of Jerusalem. And he did so for all his foreign wives who made offerings and sacrifices and sacrificed to their gods. The Lord says, I'm going to take the kingdom away from him. For David's sake, he says, I'm not going to take it away right now. I'm going to take it away in your son's reign. I'm going to leave him some for David's sake. But it's going to be taken away. There was a man, very capable man, that Solomon had put in charge of some things, and his name's Jeroboam. And a prophet is going to meet Jeroboam and take the garment and rip it. And he says, the Lord's going to give you, you know, these tribes of the kingdom. It's going to be taken away from the house of Solomon. This is what he'll have left. And then the charge to him, as it was to Solomon, after the promises and blessings of Solomon back in 1 Kings 3, it said, if you follow me, if you will keep my commands. Jeroboam is told similarly, if you, and Jeroboam's not going to do right, and that's a whole other story that we're not going to get into today. And Solomon is going to want Jeroboam dead. Jeroboam will leave. He'll go out to Egypt. But then we come down, look at verse 26 to 43. I've already summed up a good bit of that. And so let's not read all of that. Let's just drop down to verse 41. Now the rest of the acts of Solomon and all that he did in his wisdom, are they not written in the book of the acts of Solomon? And the time that Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel was 40 years. And Solomon slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David, his father. And Rehoboam, his son, reigned in his place. Rehoboam went to Shechem. And if you have the ESV, your title chapter there says Rehoboam's folly. Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had come to Shechem to make him king. And so now we're going to get to Rehoboam's folly. And as soon as Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, heard it, for he was still in Egypt, where he had fled from King Solomon, Jeroboam returned from Egypt, and they sent and called him. And Jeroboam and all the assembly of Israel came and said to Rehoboam, your father made our yoke heavy. Now therefore lighten the hard service of your father and his heavy yoke on us, and we will serve you. There had been a lot of wealth in the time of Solomon, but it also, and a lot was accomplished and some great buildings done. But when you look at the counts, a lot of that was also done under forced labor. And so while the king had accumulated all of this, it doesn't mean that, if you remember the story of Yertle the turtle, you know, there's Yertle is up on top, but it's kind of rough on some of the turtles below. And they're saying, you know, will you ease up on the people? And Rehoboam basically says, let me think about it. He says, go away for 3 days and come again to me. So the people went away. Then Rehoboam took counsel with the old men who had stood before Solomon his father while he was yet alive, saying, how would you advise me to answer this people? They said to him, if you will be a servant to this people today and serve them and speak good words to them when you answer them, then they will be your servants forever. There's some wisdom there. Yeah, there's some wisdom there. Is Rehoboam going to listen to it? No, he's not. But he abandoned the counsel that the old men gave him, and he took the counsel of the young men who had grown up with him that stood before him. And he said to him, what do you advise that we answer this people who have said to me, lighten the yoke that your father put upon us? Now stop and think about this. Who's he listening to? Who he's not listening to? The older men who had served with his father, they're saying, you know, give them a break. You know, let them know you're going to be on their side. Make it easier on them. Be a servant to them. They'll serve you forever. The younger men, how have they grown up? If Solomon is in all this wealth, what would it be like to be a prince growing up with all that wealth? How much sense of entitlement, how much arrogance and selfishness could you easily develop? And those young men that had grown up with him, he's not going out there, his peers, he's not going out there and asking some shepherds and some farmers what would be a good thing here. The young men that grew up with him in this opulence. And so they have different advice. We're in 1 Kings chapter 12. They said, thus shall you speak to this people who said to you, your father made our yoke heavy, but you lightened its force. Thus you shall say to them, my little finger is thicker than my father's thighs. And now, whereas my father laid on you a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, I will discipline you with scorpions. And Rehoboam thinks this is good advice. He's going to put the people in their place. Yeah, dad was a big shot. They hadn't seen anything. Watch what happens with Rehoboam. Well, let's watch and see. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, as the king had said. Because remember, he'd said, go away, come back the third day. Now he's talked to the council. He's ignored the wisdom of the older men. He's taken the wisdom of these younger foolish men. Jeroboam and all the people come back to Rehoboam the third day. As the king said, come to me again on the third day. And the king answered the people harshly, forsaking the counsel that the old men had given. He spake to them according to the counsel of the young men, saying, my father made your yoke heavy, I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions. So the king did not listen to the people, for it was a turn of affairs brought about by the Lord, that he might fulfill the word which the Lord spoke by Abijah the Shilonite to Jerusalem, the son of Nebat. If you want to go back and read that, that's in the section we didn't read in chapter 11, but that's when the prophet met Jeroboam on the road and said, and ripped the garment, and he said, he's given the kingdom, you know, these northern tribes to you, and taking it away. And so this is now, this development helps bring that about. Chapter 12, verse 16. Now, how's this going to play out? The king has been petitioned to give some relief now. Has a lot been accomplished? Give some relief. Lighten the yoke. Rehoboam says, no way. And he's going to be bigger than his father ever was. And he disciplined you with whips. I'll discipline you with scorpions. What happens? Here's what happens. When all Israel saw that the king did not listen to them, the people answered the king, what portion do we have in David? We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel. Look now to your own house, David. So Israel went to their tents. And so these northern tribes said, we're done with you. And they go away. Well, that didn't work very well. The king, Rehoboam, sent Adoram, who was the taskmaster over forced labor. Well, yeah, they think they're going to get away like that. You know, this guy's been in charge of all the forced labor that's going on. You know, so here come the scorpions. I'll send him up there. Okay, let's see how that goes. The king Rehoboam sent Adoram, who was a taskmaster over the forced labor. All Israel stoned him to death with stones. King Rehoboam hurried to mount his chariot to flee to Jerusalem. And Israel has been rebellion against the house of David to this day. And Rehoboam gets an army together, and he says, we're going to go up there. And then the Lord sends a message to a prophet. Nope, this is from the Lord. Don't do it. Everybody, that's it. That didn't work out very well at all. We're not going to talk about Jeroboam's sins, but what happened here just graphically. Before, you had the United Kingdom, and now, from kind of that red line up and over, that's gone. That's gone. Jeroboam could have made some good choices. He makes his own foolish choices, which you know about from 1 Kings 13. We don't have time for that. But let's finish up with Rehoboam's loss and end. Chapter 14, verse 21. Now Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, reigned in Judah. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city that the Lord had chosen out of the tribes of Israel to put his name there. His mother's name was Naamah. You see what it says? The Ammonite. What was one of Solomon's problems? You know, marrying this foreign woman. And so who's Rehoboam's mom? An Ammonite. Judah did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. They provoked him to jealousy with their sins that they committed, more than all their fathers had done. For they also built for themselves high places and pillars of Asherim on every high hill and under every green tree. And there were also male cult prostitutes in the land. They did according to all the abominations of the nations. that the Lord drove out before the people of Israel. In the fifth year of King Rehoboam, Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem. He took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He took away everything. He took away all the shields of gold that Solomon had made. King Rehoboam made in their place shields of bronze, committed them to the hands of the officers of the guards who kept the door of the king's house. And as often as the king went into the house of the Lord, the guard carried them and brought them back to the guard room. So before, you'd had these shields made out of gold all over the place and stuff there. And when King Solomon, there's all that. And now Rehoboam, whose little finger was going to be bigger than his father's, was going to chastise him with scorpions until his scorpion got stoned to death. And he has to hurry back in his chariot. And then King of Egypt just comes in. Yeah, I'll take that. I'll take that. I'm going to just take it all. But he misses those. And so he's got to put some bronze ones up. And when he goes there, they put them up. And then they put them in the guardhouse when they're done. And then he dies. Now, the rest of the acts of Rehoboam and all that he did, are they not written in the book of Chronicles of the kings of Judah? There was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam continually. And Rehoboam slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. His mother's name was Naamah the Ammonite. So here Solomon has all this wisdom. To what end? And then there's Rehoboam, that apparently never had wisdom. And to what end? Let's finish where we started. James 1. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. You know, if we come here on Sunday and we hear a message from the word and we think, that's good, that's right. And then on Monday, we're doing the exact opposite. What was the point? Look at the rest of this text. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. For he looks himself, goes away, and forgets what he was like. What was the point of even looking in there if you forget what you saw? If, and it's not just on Sunday, if in your Bible study, in your readings, if you're at home and you're reading, you think, yeah, that's so. I should really do that. You close it, you forget what you saw, and we don't do it. What was the point? All this wisdom put in Solomon. And then look at the foolish decisions he makes. This, as so many of the things in the book of James are, is an echo of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus ended the Sermon on the Mount saying, it's not enough to hear. You've got to actually do. You've got to actually follow what you hear. And you know how he sums it up? Describing a wise man and a foolish man. Let's close with this text, Matthew 7, 21 through 27. You know, we've all received so many blessings. And it's what we do in reaction, it's important. Sometimes we can take blessings and let them become our curse. Wealth and prosperity can do that. Other things can do that too. We've got responsibilities. There's going to be blessings and there's going to be suffering. And it's our responsibility to do what we're supposed to do when we have blessings and to do what we're supposed to do when we're suffering, not just hearing. Closing with verse 21 through 27. This end of the Sermon on the Mount. Not everyone, Jesus says, who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of his Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching. Let's be doers of word, not hearers only. If you need to respond in any way, won't you do so as we stand and sing?